This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
It's time for Tell It to Stanya.
It's all about you. Ooh. Let's peel away the layers and focus on you. Ooh, what's going on inside? Let's talk about love and truth and the matter of who we are. Let's find out together on Tell It to Stanya.
Pleasant good afternoon. Welcome to Tell It to Stanya. I am she and she's me, although one of my persons or someone who listens to the show, they said that I am supposed to say, what did they say? I'm using the wrong verb tense. What? I can't even remember what he said that I should use. Anyway, hi, hello, Mario. Exactly. And then also I met someone else. I met Mr. Joe. So I'm giving a big old shout out to Mr. Joe who came and fixed my washing machine for me. I had called like a million people. See, Mr. Smith, that's not something you used to do, because you know you used to do, but 10,000 things. You don't fix washing machine, eh?
No, unfortunately, okay. I don't at this time. But okay. You give me something to shoot for.
Yes, because listen, this must be an in-demand type of thing, because I called at least 12 people. But Mr. Joe came, and this is why you have to be nice to people, and this is why you have to make sure your house clean. Because Mr. Joe had to come there, and then when he came, he was like, hey. And so I was like, hi. And so he said, yeah, you tell it to Stanya. So I said, yes. Well, I said, boy, that's a good thing. I have a near cleanup, eh? I mean, although Mr. Joe could see all my intimate clothes stuck in the washing machine. But don't worry about that. He was there. So if you're looking for someone who is honest, reliable, man, listen, y'all got to give Mr. Joe a call. I'll drop his number at the end of the show. So lots happened this week. For starters, of course, we all know that Rodney Moncur passed away. And sad thing, sad state of affairs. It's always, for me, a call to live. Like anytime someone passes away, especially people who have lived their life with passion and purpose, life on their own terms and just, you know, being a manifestation of what they want, who they are and all that stuff. It's always a call for the living to live, because a lot of times we don't live our lives. We don't do what we say we want to do, can do. There's a whole lot of inside of us, still inside of us, and we don't take that leap. So, yeah. So if there's anything, I guess, that we could take from the woman's stamp, is to express yourself and live your life and really do the things that you want to do that you've been mandated to do.
That's the leader of the woman's stamp.
Exactly, the leader. That's right. You ain't no leader, no woman's stamp. Oh.
No, I will not even attempt to take that title from the great Rodney Moncur.
Yes.
Senator, JP, so forth and so on.
Yes, and he will definitely, I mean, he's a legend already, and he will definitely go down in Bahamian history. So, yes, condolences to his family. All right, and that is Mr. Smith, and you know, you should know Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith has definitely been on with me a few times. Mr. Smith is my co-host at this point. Go on, you know, you want to say something.
Hello, Bahamas. I'm here again.
And you know, Mr. Smith, you know, he got a 10 job. That's who got a 10 job. I mean, listen, Christy in here with me. Christy done see him 10 times this week. Christy says she ain't even know that was you because you dressed different. But see, well, she ain't know you got 10 jobs. Poor Christy. Oh, Lord. Christy.
No, I found out today.
You just found out today.
Just found out.
Christy wasn't even sure that was Mr. Smith.
I was today years old when I found out Mr. Smith had 10 million jobs.
Okay.
But
that's
listen,
right.
Listen, let me tell you something. This is a manifestation of you being humble enough to put your hands in the soil on the weekends and smart enough to be true to your 9-to-5 during the weekdays.
Mm-hmm. Boy, let me tell you. See, we ain't even coming to talk about that, but I was thinking about that. I said, wonder if it's time for me to go back in the workplace again. Hey! I said, Lord, is it time? Is it not time? I ain't sure. I ain't sure yet. I'll know soon enough. You got one job for me?
Listen,
I've been trying to, listen, I've been begging you for a job a little while and you ain't hiring me yet.
Well, I'm trying to be hired under you, you know, because you have all of these expertise that you so eloquently put out there. So you manifest yourself unequivocally. You are passionate about what you do.
Yes, Christy. Yes.
You are passionate about what you do. Uh-huh. And you put that out there and you're in so many different spheres. So many people know you all around the Bahamas.
Listen.
So I'm just trying to hold on your coattail.
Mr. Smith, you think me and you can work together again? You know I scare bad. I scare mad and then you just leave me alone. You think we could start this business up again? Make it number 11?
You know, I am humbled to be in your presence always.
Let me hear this
and song. I take your lead. I take your lead.
Okay.
As you indicated, I'm not the leader of the woman's stem.
Uh-huh.
And I respectfully will await whatever you decide to put forward.
Okay, I think it could work this time, man. I ain't going to get mad with you no more. I promise. Not? All right, okay. So today we, we were talking about what we were going to talk about and went back and forth and decided to kind of touch a little bit on PTSD, okay, post-traumatic stress disorder. But we didn't want to take it from just that standard point. You know, a lot of times when we think about that, we're thinking about, some people think about wars, that, this person fighting a war, and then afterwards they came back, and then this what they going to go through, or this huge thing that would have happened, and now they're suffering from their effects, which is post-traumatic stress disorder. But we want to bring it home. We want to bring it down to a more relatable level, and something that we don't really touch on, and in some cases we don't even realize. Like, we talk about it, but I'm not quite sure if we are 100% conscious of it. So what we want to talk about today is post-traumatic stress disorder in terms of what does that look like in adults after experiencing a parent or parenting. Also, what we do to our children, and they suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. And even in terms of even work, you know, there's work, there's relationships, there's all sorts of things. And as a matter of fact, personally, and I mean, y'all could agree with me, feel free to jump in anytime, Mr. Smith and Miss Miller. I know, Christy, you say you could be Christy. You ain't following up Mrs. Smith, right?
Mm-mm, not at all.
Right. But I don't think we really, you know, we don't touch on it as much as we should, because there's a whole lot happening. A lot of our relationships are not going the way that we want it to go. Parenting has not been going the way that we really would want it to go. One of my daughters, we were talking about, she was saying how every time when she goes to a friend's house or whatever, or she remember going, you know, going out, and in the car it felt like tension with everyone, with the parents, the children. It just felt strained, and on the surface everybody looks fine, but no, there's some things that's happening. And we see this a lot in relationships. I know personally, working, and Mrs. Smith, you could talk about this too, working with my clients, even if they come to me for a relationship, we always go all the way back. Because the stinky relationship, look at Mr. Joe. Mr. Joe messaged me. Say, I know Mr. Joe listening. Hello, Mr. Joe. I got you. Hey, that's right. But whenever someone comes to me, we go back, because for me, the stinky relationship or the behavior is just, it's a symptom. It's not like the origin of the problem. And then when we go all the way back, and then when we take a look at what happened in your childhood, the way that your parents parented you, then we see that, there are some things that we have learned and things that we are practicing, things that we are cautious of, and we don't even know it. We spend most of our adulthood trying to get over all the stuff that we would have experienced in our childhood. What you got to say, Mrs. Smith?
Well, you're spot on with that. I mean, when you look at the relationships that you have with, or that you experience or you are exposed to with your adult counterparts, be it employees, be it co-workers, be it anyone you encounter, and you see that they behave certain ways, you have to ask yourself, well, did this just happen overnight? What happened? What caused this? And when we look at people being able to live, love, and be loved in safe environments, we tend to have to draw ourselves back or put our minds and cognize what happened or what did they experience in terms in their childhood growing up that arrested their social development.
Right.
And so when we look at that, we look at things like conflict, in parental conflict, we look at divorce, we look at domestic violence in the home. And all of these things play a role in causing the children to be hyper-aroused and have hyper-arousal. And when we talk about hyper-arousal, we're looking at persons who are anxiety-filled and they're always looking for a behavior that fits a schema. And when we look at schemas, we look at the thought process that we have in our minds about things and the way how people behave. So we are anxiety-filled by the interactions that... So even if something is not the way it is, someone says A to you, and they may not mean it in a negative way, but because of the schema that you have, because of that past traumatic experience in childhood, you manifest that as something negative towards you. You internalize that, and your overt behavior becomes something negative towards that individual. And that's what we see manifesting itself today.
Right. And so, in other words, see, Mr. Smith, he's so smart. He's very smart, you know. Yeah, he's very smart. But what we're saying is that it triggers you. So if someone does something, it's now triggering a memory, an experience from your past. And now you are reacting based on this trigger. Okay? So, okay, so let's now take a look at what does this look like, okay, as parents. You know, we had a small group today and we were all sharing as mothers, me included, where we were just talking about sometimes when we are stressed, we may lash out at a child. And it's not the child's fault. But all of these things, it's trauma. It's and you know, and I'm speaking to persons, let's go back for a minute, because sometimes I've noticed too that people may also be in denial about if their parents traumatize them. A lot of times we think that this is normal. Or, you know, well, it wasn't that bad. Or, you know, or even our parents would say, well, I mean, it wasn't as bad as so-and-so. Or, I mean, you had a better childhood than I have had. I mean, I'm talking about myself right now and my children. But
confession is good for the soul.
I'm telling you, man. See, listen, I ain't got to put nobody business out there. I can put my own. But first, you have to actually take a look and think about your childhood right now. Okay, everybody who's listening to us right now. And let me ask you. Have you felt abandoned as a child, rejected as a child, blamed as a child? And I'm not just talking about your mommy or your daddy yelling at you, because man, you can get yelled at, man. I'm talking about, and it doesn't even matter if they were there or not. Remember now, a parent can be presently absent. You could be in the home and you could still be absent. You could be in the home and causing havoc. So, have you been abandoned? Have you been rejected? That's the question. That's for you. Anyway, moving right on. Mrs. Smith, what do you think this looked like? And Chris, because Christy, you're a mommy too, right?
I am.
Christy, you are looking for company now, Christy? looking for company.
I heard two confessions on both angles just now from her.
Mm-hmm. Christy. I say, looking for company.
Yes.
You ever been traumatic to your children?
I try not to, because I'm aware of my own traumas.
Right.
Even if I act out a character with my children, I try to apologize and explain.
Yes.
I apologize. I was angry. I should not have taken it out on you.
Yes.
Forgive mommy. I ask for forgiveness. I try to do that with my children, especially after I've had a chance to decompress and de-escalate.
Right.
Come down from my 10 maybe to about a 4 or 5 and I could recalculate my actions and what my missteps, then I try to explain to them, this doesn't have anything to do with you. This is mommy. I was angry. I should not have taken I take accountability for what I said to them.
Well, that's huge, actually, because you know, now I don't know, okay, I guess my parents would have been baby boomers, eh?
I'm old people children. Yeah. My mother just turned 74 74.
Okay.
My dad, if he was still alive, would have been 79 this
year. Listen, that group, they ain't apologizing, buddy.
Well, that's all I know.
Yes. No. They don't apologize. They were not apologizing. Mm-hmm. An apology actually is something that I've noticed that most parents don't do. It's something that's missing, something where, you know, we like to say, well, we're the parents, and because we're the parents, then...
Almost like they're the end-all, ultimate authority.
Yeah.
But we must not discount the fact that a lot that we're exposed to now, they were not exposed to. And a lot that they had to deal with in terms of the primary objective was putting food on the table and clothes on your back and shelter on your over your head. And so what now, we are now exposed to more training or more that's out there in social media, in books, therapists. Because they're trying to buy pork chop, sausage. Well, it wasn't even pork chop, sausage, a leg of sausage, some grits, and some rice. They ain't got no time or no money to pay for therapy. So would we now...
Back then, therapy meant you were crazy. Automatically, it was stigmatized.
Because of the stigma, that's one of the drawbacks to people seeking assistance from mental illness in this country and in this cultural concept. But emotional regulation is what we are more, we have more grasp on than they had. Mm-hmm. And so what you demonstrated just now was you regulated your emotion. Well, you recalibrated. After you had a misstep, you recalibrated and you came and you took ownership. I like what you said. You own your actions.
I want to stick a little pin right there. Okay. And I agree with you. Their primary focus was providing, right? However, well, Christy is probably, a better or more, let me not say better, more she's showing up more in an emotional light because And all of us, not just Christy, all of us, because what was missing from our parents, though, because, we provide for you, so that is enough. But it was never enough. It was never enough, Mrs. Smith. It may have been enough for some people, but it was not enough for many people because that right there, when we think about, there are so many relationships where they feel, the provider feels as though, once you provide, then you ain't got nothing else to say to me. As a matter of fact, providing money is let people off the hook. Money is left, the person who's paid the bills and all like that, they really the person who's doing the dirty work. Okay? They really the person who got to take care of this one who got to wipe a little bomb. No, they don't give you the money, that's it. But think about it though, providing, but what about providing emotional support? What about providing all these things? And a lot of times that generation, and there's no blame because I'm in agreement with Mrs. Smith in terms of that's what they knew. And then, we're parents, this is what we know. And the generations who will come after us will think some of the things that we did was kind of crazy too, But there was a lack of emotion. So for me, we're talking about post-traumatic stress. When we talk about, couples stayed together. And they did. Under duress. Years later, my grandmother told me, I was traumatized when she said, I couldn't stand your grandfather. I was like, what? That was very traumatic for me. But imagine now staying together. And this is a huge cause of PTSD. Being the child, and you're now watching your parents who refuse to separate, argue. Why are you sitting here looking like that? Argue uncontrollably, be violent towards each other, verbally abusive. And of course, we would have come from a time where, whatever happened in this house stays in this house. And that actually has been the origin of the PTSD in many, adult children who are now the parents of a new generation. What do you think about that?
I agree.
Yeah, definitely. You have a point there. And also what we want to take into consideration is that even though the persons who you spoke of, the resilient ones,
right,
who we went through a lot of stuff, but we were resilient, more so than other persons.
Right.
But there's still, don't discount the fact that some of the issues that we face in our adult relationships are based on the trauma that we felt like we overcame.
But we didn't.
Because we were more resilient than those who may have a subnormal,
right,
overt subnormal face in, right, society. But we now have this normal, we have this quote-unquote normal facade. But right, then we have some traumas. We deal with relationships. We deal with colleagues. We deal with the wider public in a manner that speaks to us having survived some trauma.
Right. And we don't talk about this stuff. And it's something that we should, because, you know, I don't want to say this because I believe that, you know, you got to speak positively. But let me say this. I try to put it as nicely as possible. Okay. There has been some evidence to support that we, the Bahamian people, are very angry. And we're angry. Sometimes, I mean, now there's plenty of things we're angry at now. But we have issues. We write back to the PTSD that we are carrying with us. We are carrying our mothers and our father's stuff, the things, like I said, that we would have seen. And as Mr. Smith said, we thought that we got over it. And, you know, and let me tell you, you know what's proof that we did not get over it? The proof is, boy, and this is a big one right here. And this is something that we were afraid of, that many people are afraid of. Remember, I was talking about things we've been afraid of. A huge part, a clue of how I know we didn't get over it is because we were afraid to be our mothers and fathers, yet we became our mothers and fathers. In some cases, the fathers, okay, they were absent. And you men, some of you, by the way, shout out, I went to the movies a few weeks ago and it was lone guys with their kids at the movies. And let me just say that it was beautiful.
Good stuff.
Right. I was like, wow.
And
like
we need to pause and, like, yeah, you say, stick a pin and celebrate.
Notice
that moment.
That's why I say that.
That oasis in the desert, because, yeah, too many times we have persons who are saying, yeah, negative things, yeah, about the fathers and the men.
Dads.
But we need to uplift them, mm-hmm, when they do
that's what well, is you think expected. That's right. And on a serious note, on that Sunday, it was more men there with their children, to tell you the truth, than women. I was looking around. I was like, well, Jesus, this in my name is getting free today, eh? I'm serious. I said, I don't know if y'all like decide the Sunday is the day to take the children to the movies, but there were a lot of men at the movies at Fusion with their children. And I talk about more than one.
My dear Stanya,
yes,
that is powerful.
Yeah, and I see, I'm dead serious. You know, I always watching people. I nosy. But yes. We became our mothers and fathers. I've seen fathers or men who did not have a good role model, and they know the pain and the hurt that they would have experienced. Yet, it's happening again. And yes, I know that there are some women who make it very difficult. I can't, you know, very difficult. Jesus, Lord, I even know daddy, and anyway, I don't want to talk to them people business, but let's put it like this. I see how women can also contribute to it, but yes. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about men who you throw in the towel, or you're not with the woman and you just, you know, you don't care. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. And this is a shout out to the men that I know who, listen, they struggle too with these baby mamas, but they still there. Okay? I've heard men when they say, oh, the baby mama, she got married, she want to change my child name. And one I say, well, you want him? Listen, he most killed me for even halfway mentioning that. Okay? No. Many men out there who doing this thing, but I'm talking to the guys. You know how it feels and how it felt. And yet you are your father. And women too. Because women abandon children too. We've become our mothers too. We've done many things. You know, we call it generational curse, but it shows up. So maybe, and the response of PTSD is sometimes repeating this behavior too. But we don't realize that we are actually repeating the behavior, even though it's very clear and evident. I don't get it.
Well, see, without seeking help, and because you will be bound to repeat a behavior,
right?
Because you did nothing to heal,
right?
And so, because we are stigmatized in our cultural concept of not going to therapists, they use negative words to describe therapists and going to therapy and what's not, and persons who go to therapy, and so that draws us back from seeking help.
Yes.
But I want to encourage everybody under the sound of my voice, if you feel like you need someone to talk to, seek help. Seek anybody. Your pastor, your local pastors, your therapists out there. We have a wide variety of expertise out there. Seek someone to tell your story to in a safe environment. Someone that can guide you along the path and stop what Sanya calls generational curses, but stop the repetitive behavior of negativity and harm. Because you could be, I think we used this a couple of weeks ago, you could be in danger and you could endanger others.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you could be, when I say, child, listen, Mrs. Smith, your life was self-abuse in the day. And we become abusive of ourselves.
Yes.
Another way, PTSD shows up too, is in people-pleasing behaviors. And we're back to the parenting. I've heard parents say all the time, I'm giving my children something that I did not have, right? So they're going out and they're spending all this money. Why you don't give them the thing you didn't have, which your parents didn't give you, which was that emotional support, what was boundaries, structure? That is also a symptom, too, of PTSD when you're there and you're people-pleasing. And then we end up raising narcissistic children.
Mm-hmm.
Boy.
How you could tell the people things like that, but their children?
What? Say what? Listen.
Just like that.
I was just, I always remember this. I worked at Gatley as a teacher. Miss Johnson. Hi, Miss Johnson. Miss Johnson gave me my first job out of college. Hello. Hey. Okay. So I remember there was, and I know Miss Johnson doesn't even remember this. I remember there was a student, and Ms. Johnson had punished the student, and the mother was very upset because of this. So she came in acting, terrible. She was carrying on dead, stinking bad. And so Ms. Johnson said, listen, you have failed to discipline your child. So you brought the child to me, to this school. I disciplined this child, and you are trying to stop me from disciplining your child. So you have failed. You want me to fail. So you know what's going to happen next? Society will discipline this child. And I remember, I was like, boy, Ms. Johnson, don't play now. Mm-hmm. Let's fast forward to, let's say, about 10 years after that. You know who I saw doing the bank lane shuffle? That same child. So, okay, I'm calling children narcissists or whatever. Some children are very terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're born terrible. I don't know if it was parenting, but we have to look at the signs too. We got to tell the truth about our children. Sometimes my daughter be having staying attitude. I mean, she get it from the other side of the family. That ain't my side. But we have to be honest.
Well, ownership comes to mind there, and that's what Christy was saying. Owning
accountability.
Things, accountability.
Yeah.
So what you want to do? A lot of times, we as parents don't want to accept the fact that we are accountable for some things because, like you said, the child didn't grow up acting that way.
No.
I mean, the child didn't born acting that way.
Right.
So the child enacted a behavior. We allowed the behavior to fester. We allowed it to bloom and mushroom without correction.
Right.
And so a child behaves one way at home, and that is magnified by 10 when they get out there.
Right.
So what we let them get away with at home, We will reap the benefits when we're out in public.
Yes.
And when we're out in public, we may behave differently because now we have eyes
we
and
mask.
Ears.
We tend to mask our behaviors.
That are looking at us and saying, oh, with judgmental eyes, mm-hmm. with judgmental ears, and saying, oh, she ain't know or he ain't know how to take care of this child or that child rude, hey?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want no one to say anything to us, about us, or about our children. But accountability is what we need to take. We need to stop the behavior, correct the behavior at home, and then we won't have to do so much correction. Well, my dad never had to say nothing to us. All he do is look.
The look.
He just look.
But now it is.
Boy, look here. And right. You don't even want that look because you know something come behind that look.
That's
when
right.
You get back home.
You would want that look because you know when you get home, right, when that look stop, you don't know nothing good coming from that. But this is connected to PTSD because as adults, as mummies, as daddies, we would have been in homes where we would have been traumatized. And now either we are overcompensating with our children or we are repeating the exact same behavior that we would have seen with our parents. And now recreating that and causing post-traumatic stress disorder with our children too. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to be right back.
Those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Penta has a new line. The Sky series of porcelain comes in four colors, Sky Noir, Sky Gris, Sky Glance, and this one, Sky Azure. As the name suggests, you would think it has a strong blue component, but the blue is kind of like just a hint in the overall coloring of the porcelain. The blue feature runs more or less the center of the tile, and that's surrounded by light shades of gray. The Sky Azure, like the others in the series, needs to be seen to be appreciated. Stop by Penta Tile and have a look at Sky Azure, one of the four in the Sky series.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with a loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Since 1989, Joker's Wild Comedy Club has been the heart of laughter in the Bahamas. But now an era is coming to a close.
Get ready for my guy, comedian Tommy Davidson.
Tommy Davidson, along with featured comedian Kirk Green and house comedian Naughty. Don't miss your last chance to experience the magic. May 20th through the 25th, Joker's Wild Comedy Club. Admission $50. Get your tickets now at AtlantisBahamas.com/events.
Are back. And by the way, if you want to be a part of this conversation, you can give me a text or send me a text at 422-4796. That's 422-4796. You can also give me a call, 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Have you been traumatized by your parents or the parental relationship, or have you traumatized your children? Okay, so on the break, we were talking a little bit more about overcompensation. What were you sharing, Mrs. Smith, about overcompensation?
Well, oftentimes you find that parents who feel like they have failed because they stayed in a relationship or a marriage that was not kind to them or not safe for them, and they use the term, they stayed in for the children's sake. Oftentimes when they have conversations with these children later on in life, the children blame them, and so the children then traumatize them because they're saying that, well, you didn't have to stay for me, you know? Mm-hmm. And the parents sometimes try to encapsulate for the children the vision that, listen, I didn't want your life to be turned upside down. I didn't want it to change for you so drastically. Right. And so that was the reason behind them staying in there. And so they overcompensate oftentimes by trying to extend themselves to their own detriment sometimes in terms of finances,
right,
in terms of allowing the children to do or say things
whatever
to them.
And
so they because they feel like I owe this to the
child. They feel bad about it.
And that too is not productive. It's not positive.
And I don't think people like really identify that this is what they're doing, but yes, I mean, you know, and we all do it. I mean, we all do it in some form or fashion as parents. You know, sometimes I say, okay, today I'm super mommy. You know, I'm doing this or whatever. But you know, I'm talking about when we go the long haul. When, I mean, you'll even put yourself in debt, or you know, you're doing too much. But even with that, you're also contributing, and you're creating a narcissistic child as well. Or you are also creating, what you're now doing is that this child, they lack boundaries, structure, they're not respectful. And this is a huge one. And this is something that we suffer from, I'm talking about across the Bahamas. Entitlement. They now become entitled. And in some cases, we teach our children how not, you know, that things should just be given and not earned. So this is very detrimental to the success and the emotional intelligence of your children. Because imagine this person now is going to go into a relationship. And could you imagine how they're going to act in a relationship with someone? You get what I'm saying?
Some people have coined the phrase of creating monsters.
Yes.
For other people to deal with and live with.
Yes.
Know?
Yes, I'm telling you. So, I mean, you know, so this is how, and I want you all to get that the PTSD, how it's connected to the behavior, and then how we are now recreating this. And also, let's take it from the other standpoint where the children are watching you overcompensate, and then we now see our children also being people pleasers as well. And then we wonder, where do they get this behavior from? Go on, Christine.
Well, I'd like to plug in a point. My parents separated before I could even remember. I never knew my parents to be together.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, from what I heard, they always fight. They had an abusive marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And they separated. But what I do remember is after they separated, I think they mended their relationship. They were still cordial, still respectful. Like, I could remember when my mommy had issues at work, she would call my dad for advice, and he would give us sound advice.
Mm-hmm.
And so how a relationship begins doesn't necessarily have to dictate how it ends.
Right.
I feel like once we acknowledge the problem, the situation, we need to take steps to correct it.
Yes.
And I was married. I was with my husband for total dating and married for about 5 years. When our marriage took a step towards abuse, and I realized I was ready to out this man lights.
Right.
I decided I was leaving because I said, my son is going to be without two parents.
Right.
one of us are going to end up in the grave and the other one's going to end up in jail. So he's going to be essentially an orphan.
Right.
So I made the decision to leave. And after we left, we were respectful to each other. I never wanted him to believe that type of behavior was normal.
You're right.
Or acceptable.
Yes.
So I left. And when I dealt with his dad, I made it a point. I made a conscientious effort not to speak about his dad negatively. I always try to play up the dad's best. Your daddy loves you.
Right.
As soon as your daddy gets to take time, he's going to come and get you. Like, I always try to play up the dad. And fortunately for me, the daddy never disappointed. He never made me out to be a liar. It's just that our relationship, our marriage did not work. And I think if a lot more persons would be honest with themselves and take an inventory of what their relationship looked like, what they want, what they don't want, ballot weight on the scales, and take a turn towards what's best for them, because not what's best for your children, because your children are going to grow up and leave you.
No, not only that, I'll tell you
hopefully
this too. For the most part, I only go with the clients, the people that I see. Mm-hmm. Most of them say that they wished that their parents would have separated because they said it was just too much. Now, of course, yeah, stay together if everything is good. But most of them say that they wish that daddy had left because mommy used to do daddy too bad. I mean, you know, or mommy should have left because daddy was doing mommy too. They was arguing, blah, blah, blah. Because a lot of times, just with you say that you're staying for the children, but the children now have been traumatized from the trauma of your relationship. And another clue now, and we talk about overcompensating as the adult, right? Now, a clue to you have traumatized your children. Let me tell you all a clue, and most people don't realize this. Now, they just don't see this one. Your children are overachievers. You know, I'm serious.
I laugh because I feel like you're talking to me.
Your children, right. You have traumatized your children because, see, children sometimes take on what's going on into the home. And so they trying to be that good child. They trying to, they getting all, see, mommy, look how good I am, da, da, da. You have traumatized your child. One way you traumatize your child, one, it may be chaos, arguing back and forth. Another way.
Comparison as well.
What's that?
Comparison.
I was just
well.
About to say another one is, and this is a big one now. Oh, Lord, this is a big one. I'm mashing my mommy damn corn. But anyhow, listen. You got, mommy, I got an A. Well, why you didn't get an A plus? Man, that's traumatic, man. I know you're trying to get your children to a certain level, but what you are also teaching them is that they are not good enough. And so they are now overcompensating. They trying to please you. When you see you have these little children and they trying to please you so bad, you done traumatize your children. Your children suffering from PTSD. Mrs. Smith, why are you looking at me crazy?
No. I agree with you. You we need to uplift our children.
Yeah.
And not that you're accepting mediocrity or you're trying to tell them that they've arrived, because we never arrive in this world. We always seeking to learn more, to do better, and so forth and so on. You even persons on high levels of society will say that more can be done. You know, they will never say I've done my best. They say more can be done. So we have to encourage our children, but at the same time, not allow them to feel like, okay, I don't have to try no more.
Like I know the other day, my daughter lives in Grand. I'm a native of Grand Bahama, born and raised. My daughter lives with my mom in Freeport. And she called me, she was so sick. She's like, mommy, I got a B on my test in Grammy. So why didn't you get an A?
Yeah.
And I said, did you do your best? Yes, mommy. I said, okay. That's all I require from you. And that's what you should require from yourself. Do your best. I said, now, what I would like for you to do, think of ways you can move that B to A. If you know you need to study more, cut off your... Limit your time on Instagram. Limit your time on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Put more time into your studying. Put more time into research so that when you have another exam and this information comes up, you can improve your grade. I just want you to be better than yourself yesterday.
Right.
So that was our conversation, but she was so hurt. And yeah. I realized, like, trying to bridge that. I feel like I am a bridge between my mommy, because she lives with my mom, and this new generation. Listen, and trying to...
I used to be scared sometimes when my daughter, because my daughter, she loved her Grammy so much, right? I used to be afraid, because I used to be like, Lord, what my mommy could put in my child by the time she get home. And I know that that's that they come from that era of, right, you know, that's the way you do it. But I know, because I know what it felt like to be on the receiving end. So that's why I'm saying that, you know, that's when you see children who are trying so hard, like they're people pleasing, or, you know, they coming home and da-da-da-da-da. It's because they are trying so hard to gain your approval. And so once again now, this little person is going to go into relationships. And they're going to be railroaded too, because imagine the crap that they're going to take. They're going to be trying to please them. And nothing wrong with pleasing your mate, but I'm talking about that extra. You know what I mean? Like, don't care what it is. Then they have these feelings of just not being good enough.
Anxious attachment.
They yes. call it. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That's all right.
You know? And so, and there's a way to do it. I mean, like, for me with my daughter, it's like, oh, boy, you was carry on bad. Now you get that big, hey, boy, look at you. Hey, now anyway, how much A's you get? The other day, mind you, last semester she got 4 A's and 2 B's. This time I think it was 3 A's and 2 B's or 3 B's or something like that. Mind you, in my mind, I was like, oh, you're going down a little bit. So, but I say nothing. Mm-hmm. I said, well, you get three A's and 3 B's. I said, what you get last time? 4. So I said, oh, okay, all right. So I said, but you did good though. And then she went on to, boy, mommy, I wasn't even checking this semester. Right? So mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay. I said, but it's still a good grade though. You know, so mind you, in my mind, I was like, oh, you did get 4 A last time, but mm-hmm. anyhow. But then I said, I'm not going to touch it, because I don't want to put that pressure on her. When she's ready, she's going to do it. It's a good grade. Okay. Now, of course, if you plummet, then it's like, okay, we're going on here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but I think we don't realize the effect of what we say to our children. And now we are traumatizing them. And they try, and in many cases, they are watching us. And they try in their own little way, they trying to make the peace for you. So if you have a child right now and, you know, they just trying to please you and they trying to love you up, that's because they think you need it. You done traumatized the children.
Oh, my.
We had a saying in school, good, better, best. Never let it rest until the good is better and the better is best.
Yes.
So I want to just encourage everybody to encourage your children. Encourage yourself to be 1% better tomorrow than you are today. And you should be fine. That's 1%.
This is Dr. Phil right there. Mm-hmm. yes. And, you know, something that that I do, you know, okay, before I even get to that, as parents, we have to be careful. We don't want to traumatize our children. We don't want them to have PTSD. We don't want them to go through the same things that we would have gone through. So just as Mrs. Smith said, you know, you could seek counsel. And if you know that something is not right, the first thing is to admit it too. You have to admit that, you know, something is not right. As mummies, is this the month of May? And we all know it's mothers, you know, Mother's Day in the month of May. Boop, 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 boop. Hello. But as mothers, we have traumatized our children. And I know, Mr. Smith, you don't say I talk bad to people, but I got to say it, though. I got to say it.
Run
mothers, yeah, we cannot. Why, Chrissy, why are you laughing?
Because the month of May is also something else. What is it? Know my business. Yeah.
I the freshness?
Yes.
Yes. She have a freshness business, and y'all know what I mean.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
When I say freshness business.
Well, so that's the one where you're talking about when you get all them.
Listen, let me go on to what I was saying, because see you out of order. Mummies, mothers. We can't. Okay, we have traumatized our children in terms of dating. I'm talking to the single mothers now. We cannot have Tom, Dick, and Harry in and out of our beds while our children are watching. We can't expose our children to that, our girl children or our boy children. We, you know, we talk about this. So I was watching Kendra G. I mean, Kendra G is in America, but Kendra G, how many children you got? 6. How much baby daddies you got? 6.
7 in some cases.
We can't, yeah, this, listen. And you know what is, this is an interesting thing. Mr. Smith.
I'm trying to do the math on that. I'm sorry, but okay.
Mrs. Smith, I have a question for you. This halfway off the topic, but this on topic. I've noticed, and I said this before on the show, that it's almost as though sometimes I get that men hate women, right? And when I say hate women, I'm not talking about being gay, okay? I'm talking about, like, there's this disdain for women, right? And then I find this is a weird thing for me. The weird thing for me is that most of these men, well, that I know, would have grew up in a single parent home with their mothers, and they claim they love their mothers. Or they grew up with their Grammy. Love their Grammy. But then you hate the women. I understand how this has happened.
I think hate is such a strong word to use.
Yeah, I know, boy.
But I think that what you may be hitting on is that sometimes their attitudes towards the females in their life may come across as negative or overly or hyper aroused. Where we talk earlier about the anxiety, being anxiety and looking at the different behavior patterns and relating that to something else. Oftentimes you have, mothers will try to raise their sons to be strong individuals. And not only strong individuals, but individuals who they give them the cheat code for the opposite sex. So they say, don't let her come around here doing this or saying that because she's trying to swing you, or she's trying to do this, or she's trying to do that. So those things may internalize those things, and it may come across in a negative light. I don't necessarily agree with the fact that predominantly those men hate women.
Right.
But I understand where you're coming from when you say that some of the actions that they espouse may give the impression that they dislike.
Boy, I know. Yeah. I just wonder if they really do you really love your mommy. You got issues with your mommy buddy. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got a new term. I stealing this from Shira, you know, Shira. Mm-hmm. She said you're mentally gay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're mentally gay. Because you ain't like woman. We talking about PTSD. Yeah. Sorry, let me stay focused. Sorry. Christy, what you had to say?
I was going to say you have with every tree or most trees, you have fruit and you have root. So we see the fruit as being they hate women. Whereas the root could be their mommy.
Yes, that's it right there.
You know,
you got issues with your mama, boo-boo.
Yes.
PTSD. PTSD and S and D don't stand for Stanley Davis. Hello. No. Okay, yes. But seriously now, we have to stop traumatizing our children. And as I was saying, mothers. We have seen so many situations, too, where, you know, you're leaving your children even with people that you just started dating. Lord have mercy. No. No. No.
Yeah, you have to be protective of your children. That's not to say that the persons out there are going to be abusive or negatively deal with your children, but you want to put yourself in a... How could you feel safe leaving your child with someone that you do not fully know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Boy, I ain't leaving my daughter nowhere.
Listen, I can remember my daughter as a child when I was living in Freeport, and we would come and I would make it a point for her to visit her dad's family.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd spend a day with her dad's family. I'd be there. And I remember her Grammy saying, Lord, strangest children has come to me, my own don't want. I say, because she doesn't know cents. You. She is not familiar with you. I don't have my children about the place. I'm very protective of my children.
This is another thing I did with my daughter. We had a code word. So this code word, and we still have, and I did it even with my grandniece. Just a little code word. So in this, you know, and you create your code words with your children too. So let's say the code word is
sus.
Ballet. It's like ballet. Oh, Lisa, you won't go to ballet? And if Lisa say, yes, I won't go to ballet, that means Lisa won't get the heck on out of there. If Lisa say no, then...
Okay.
Yes. But seriously now, we got to stop this because it keeps manifesting. We keep manifesting this in terms of our relationships, in terms of raising our children, and now these children are angry. They're lashing out. They don't know how to act. And it's based on the trauma that they would have experienced in the home. And this is the point that I'm just trying to hit home. You may not see it. We're doing this. We wanted to make it very relatable to you. So this is the gist of why we're doing it now. We have like 3 minutes left. Christy, you could tell them where to find you, your fresh things. You know you want, right? Listen, Dwight, listening.
Well,
and now I'm getting in trouble for you. Because he quick to message people, go on.
Listen, I want to say, No. Well, May being the month of Mother's Day, it's Nurses Month as well, and it's also Masturbation Month.
So now, you ain't had to say that like that. Did I not just tell you Dwight is listening? And see, you hear Brittany laughing because Brittany doesn't know Dwight. I don't even want to open up my phone right now. Listen. So, just tell them where they can find you, Christy. You don't mess it up.
The toybox242@gmail.com, 828toys, Instagram, the toybox242.
Because you done getting me in trouble. Mr. Smith, what is this? You. Hello, what's your company? One of them companies, not all 10. What's one of the companies?
Well, today I represent Smith's Janitorial, and we provide cleaning services for both residential and commercial cleaning. We are now running a special for $72 for small homes. And so you can get your whole house clean for $72. And the number to find us is 821-1076. 821-1076. Call Smitty. He'll clean you up real good.
Right, that's an infomercial. That was good. Okay, guys. Well, we're going to get out of here, but just two announcements from me. Remember last week we talked about the weight loss program with Dr. Archer Cartwright. If you are interested in the program, you can send me a message. And thank you for the persons who did email. I received your emails. Send me a message at tellittostania@gmail.com. That's tellittostania@gmail.com. Okay, so if you're interested in being a part of the meeting that we're going to have with her talking about the different weight loss medications, what she offers, if you don't want medication, whatever it is, the questions that you have, you can join our private meeting that's coming up in a week or two. One other thing, we also have last week, oh my goodness, I don't think I had mentioned this on the air. What were women afraid of? Yeah. So we had an amazing time. Well, I did touch it a little bit. Now, we have another one coming up, and it's going to be at the end of the month. And since it is the month of May and mothers and all like that, the session is Give Your Mama Back Her Stuff. That's right. Give Your Mama Back Her Stuff. So we are having that the last Sunday in May. If you want to be a part of it, there is a fee. The fee is $39. But if you message me, it's only $20. We got 1 week. You got 1 week to purchase that for $20. When I come next week, we go into $39. And during that session, Give Your Mama Back Her Stuff, we will be talking about the things that you would have gotten from your mother, the good things, the bad things, and we will also be focused on releasing things. It is an online class. We only take a few persons at any given time. So please message me, tellittostania@gmail.com, or you can give me a call, 451-6767. That's 451-6767. If you want to be a part of Give Your Mama Back Her Stuff, you don't have to continue your life like this. There is help, there is assistance, and I would love for you to join us. And yes, I will be the facilitator for the session, because you all think I only be on the radio talking foolishness. No, I am a life coach, and I am an amazing life coach. Have a good weekend, and I'll see you next week. Oh, one other thing, y'all, Mr. Joe. Give Mr. Joe a call, 395-2338, or email me, and I'll give you Mr. Joe's information. Have a good one.